I liked your word, Josh. Where'd he go? Is he here? He left? Then I'm not doing anything but till he comes back. It's a strange, every teacher could tell you this. You never have any real, I liked your word, and I'm glad you're back. Okay. There's a round of applause for you while you were gone. Oh, well. When you teach, you never have any idea, really, how much anybody's internalizing anything that you say. And no matter how many times you say it, it's no guarantee. And the tests are no clue, really, of anything. You just have to hope, especially in a Christian school. I tell them all the time that Bible is eternal. It's the most important subject. It leads you into eternity. I had a pleasant experience this week. Watch this. Young girl back there. Yes, I called on you. I know you'll get this right. True or false? Jesus is fully God and fully man. True, see? And she said that with such appreciative enthusiasm, you almost can't resist her. We discussed this in Bible class, and she and I communicated, and now she knows this for sure, that Jesus is fully God and fully man. There are certain things about Jesus that you must believe in order to be saved. This is the work that God has given us to do, believe in the one that he has sent. So you believe in the one that he has sent by putting some sort of focus and in effort on the revelation of Christ through the scriptures by means of the Holy Spirit. I was thinking yesterday, I have something that God does not have. Obviously, a sin nature, but that isn't what I meant. This is a good thing. I was thinking, I have something God does not have. And what it is I have grandchildren. God has only children. God has never had a grandchild, only children. And they're trying to scare us, I think, with all the flu things on the news. Everybody has the flu. And I thought, I would very readily take the flu rather than have either one of my grandchildren have it. And I thought, that's sort of along the lines of the Jesus on the cross taking our sins and all those things that we don't deserve. But then I was thinking, but I have something that God doesn't have. I have grandchildren. And for those of you who have grandchildren, it is an amazing, wonderful blessing. I feel bad for God that he didn't get a chance to experience being a grandfather, only a father. I had two other interesting experiences. Girl back there. You can verify later on that I'm telling this story and it's actually true, because they think I make these stories up, but occasionally they actually true stories. I had this bright idea that I was going to ask my Bible class this simple question: true or false? The way to get into heaven is to be a good person. Now that's what 99% of Americans believe. And I thought, surely in my class there's going to be four or five people who say, absolutely, you have to be a good person to get to heaven. You have to be a bad person to get to heaven through salvation by the shed blood of Christ. Anyway, there were 25 kids in the class, and I passed this out. And I figured I'd have at least four or five who would say, yeah, you've got to be a good person. All 25 said false. You don't get to heaven by being a good person. I was totally amazed. I thought, was that accidental? Do I have to do this again to make sure it's valid? Or have they actually internalized this understanding that no one can ever deserve heaven and no one can ever make themselves good enough, that it has to be through faith in Jesus Christ, what he has done, what he's doing, what he yet will do? So I was very, very pleased with that. And then I got an email from this lady I haven't heard from a bunch of years, and she wants me to do a book interview on Hitler in the New Age. And I thought, oh, my past sins are coming back to haunt me. I wrote Hitler in the New Age in 1993, and I worked on it like 92. So that book was a long time ago. This lady crawls out of my past and wants me to talk on the radio about Hitler and the New Age. And There is no number low enough to express the interest that I have in doing this. None. However, I wrote this book back in 1994. This is how I misspent my youth writing books over a number of years. And I began to think about this book because I was following this Duck Dynasty thing. And I have no horse in this race. I've seen a total of about 4 minutes of Duck Dynasty. Patty tries to propagandize me into this. I watched it about 4 minutes one time and I thought, really? Why would I want to watch this program? Anyhow, little did I realize it was going to get controversial. Every time the guy's views are mentioned, now the guy seems like a kind of like a doofus to me, to tell you the truth, but every time his views are mentioned, they always say his controversial views. Now, what makes anybody's views controversial? Evidently, in America, we are living in a time of a seismic change in America. We are living in a Pontius Pilate age, where Pontius Pilate says to Jesus, "So then, tell me, you are a king, right?" And Jesus said, "Yes, and for that purpose I was born. I am the king of truth." And Pontius Pilate says, "Bah, what is truth?" So we are living in a Pontius Pilate society now. The idea of absolute truth is beyond controversial for most people. It's close to being an abomination. They do not believe there is such a thing as absolute truth, that it's binding upon everybody in every situation all the time. Whereas we all do believe that. We all believe there is an absolute truth. And Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that God wants everybody to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, which is what Josh was talking about. And I thought, okay, now, isn't that a strange way to say that? Be saved and then come to a knowledge of the truth? Wouldn't you think it would be have a knowledge of the truth and then be saved? Well, my understanding of that would be salvation is the gateway into your experience of getting to know Jesus Christ and walking with him and getting to know him better and better all the time. Somebody hit and ran my car on New Year's Eve. I think they were drunk. Smashed my car and merrily drove off. And I thought to myself, I couldn't do that. I could smash someone's car, but I couldn't merrily drive off. And I thought, the difference is that not because I'm a better person, it's because I owe my allegiance to Jesus Christ, the King of Truth, and I could not hit somebody's car and then sneak away to save a few hundred dollars. But I realized most of the world could do that very easily because they have no what they call a higher power, a higher allegiance to a higher power. Our higher power is God the Father through Jesus Christ. And as I was thinking about this whole seismic change thing that we're going through now, I thought, you know what we're seeing in world history at this point? It's the merging of demonism and humanism. Humanism is demonism. It's the pride of man to run his own life, to reject the claims of a holy God, to reject even the concept of something like sin. The idea that there is something like sin for most people is just such an archaic and bizarre comprehension. There's no sin. You just do what you want. And the worst sin is not being true to yourself and all these stupid things that you hear people say. But I thought, okay, we're living now in the age when humanism and demonism have merged definitively, heading toward, I believe, the appearance of the Antichrist with 666. And I've always, for a long time, believed that the 666, now I don't know if it's an actual number that you get tattooed like everybody thinks, I don't know. But 6 is the number of man, 7 is the number of God. So 666 would be man worshiping himself as God at the pinnacle of his understanding. And that's where we are now. The people were so mad at Duck Dynasty guy because he quoted scripture to them. Now, I guess he said some other weird things too, but since I didn't see the interview, I'm not privy to that. But I do know that he read he gave as an opinion 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Why don't you go there for a minute? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And the point was, he was saying, this is my opinion. Now, most recently, Colorado has legalized recreational marijuana. Yay! Let's move there. What a church we could have there. There are churches who are now mixing alcohol with church services, which I'm thinking, that ought to be interesting. The people will really have the joy of the Lord there, no doubt about it. I was thinking, like this Robin Roberts lady, who's a sportscaster. She came out as being gay. Enormous acclamation and applause for this woman. What did she do? Discover penicillin? No. Perfect world peace? No. She announced to the world that she's gay. That is what got her hero status. And again, I'm thinking, we live in a society where truth has been turned upside down, where good is evil and evil is good. And more, I say this to tell you this for this reason, I believe more and more and more the church now is going to be put on the defensive because people have decided that the things that the church believes, they no longer believe. There was a point in history when the gay community was so successful that homosexual became tolerated, homosexuality. And then it became accepted. And then it became promoted. And then it became extolled, where it's a superior lifestyle, and anybody who doesn't think so is a bigot. Well, this is the conclusion of the liberals with the Duck Dynasty guy. So anytime you read his views, it always says his controversial views, which made me realize that in coming times, all the church's views on everything are going to be regarded by society as controversial. And I believe that the church is really going to get pared down because it's going to become under a lot of scrutiny and a lot of heat. And you're going to have to actually be serious about your Christian commitment to stand during that time period because the church is going to be more and more and more under attack. I mean, there have been times when all of us in our lives, if somebody would ask if you're a Christian, you'd have been proud to say yes. Now we're in a situation where you know that that's going to be a controversial answer. So anyway, this is the Duck Dynasty article that was in the television. It says, A&E said that they were extremely disappointed with his controversial views. And his views in no way reflect those of A&E, who have always been strong supporters and champions of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transsexual community. Now, really, would you like to be part of that community? This is going to be your identification that you're going to say for all to hear. We've always been a champion of all of these things, and they are not only normal and acceptable, they are desirable, and we love them, and we tolerate them, and we promote them. And I'm thinking, in the last 10 years, all of this has happened. I mean, it's amazing. The lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered community. On ABC's Good Morning America, December 19th, this guy praised A&E for its courageous decision to suspend Mr. Robertson. They can do whatever they want. It's their television statement. But he said, his statements were really outrageous, controversial. Everybody on any news channel that you watched during the coverage of this, all the reporters fell all over themselves to say, this was controversial, this was disgusting, this was despicable, even though I endorse his right to say these horrible, horrible, horrible things. He still has the right under the Second Amendment. However, did you ever see Piers Morgan on television? I have to tell you, I wouldn't give you a pinch of salt for Piers Morgan. But he had a quote. He said this, The First Amendment's free speech protection should not apply to vile bigots like Mr. Robertson. So, can you imagine being called anything worse than a vile bigot? I mean, that's about as... He says that this is normal for them. And he's saying, I so disagree with his statement that he should not have freedom of speech. Only people that I like should have the freedom of speech. If they're saying what I like, yay, freedom of speech. If they're not, shut them down. They don't deserve it. And I'm thinking, he's not alone in that point of view. We live in such a topsy-turvy world now. And I think that for Christians, the first thing that happens to you is that you begin... First Timothy 2:4, Paul says, I want everyone to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And I said, it seems like those are backward order, but a knowledge of the truth is a knowledge of Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Doesn't come any other way than through Jesus Christ. And so, when you get saved, you come to a knowledge of the truth, because truth is a person. It's not a thing. Truth is a person. Which means that all the great philosophies of man and all the wonderful ideas and schemes and whatever, unless they somehow tie into Jesus Christ, they really have nothing to do with truth. Okay. Now, we're living in a society now that has largely rejected God's word. So, what do you have to do? I thought to myself, we're now living in what I predicted in 1994. When I read this book recently, I thought, I was smart in 1994. Whatever happened to me? As I was reading this book, I was thinking, this is such a prediction of things that were yet to come. I mean, that's 20-some years ago. I'm thinking, gee, how far we've come. The things that I wrote about in this were, at that time, theories. Now, they're all around us. They're everywhere. And by and large, the church is going to have to up its game. It's going to have to be stronger than it's been in order to stand against all the things. I mean, how far is it from saying, this guy, this vile bigot, doesn't deserve Second Amendment rights, to this group of people, which is called a church, vile bigots that they are, do not deserve a right under the Second Amendment to speak the truth as they see. We're not that far from this. I mean, we're moving at this in light speed. And the church is going to have to be convinced of what they believe to be true. Would you go now to, this was probably my second most widely read book that I think I did at least 10 books. I forget how many I did now. As many as 9 or 10 people have read this book in America. So we're having a special offering today. If anybody wants one of these, we have lots left over from 20 years ago. I'd be very happy to give you all one if you'd like to read one. But the premise of the book is we're living in a society that has lost its grasp on truth, because it's a, got one for you right here. These are free, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to pay for these. In fact, I might pay you $1 if you took one. We are living in an age when demonism, blatant outright demonism of all weird persuasions, and the world's largest religion, which is secular humanism, man worshiping man, have kind of merged. And we're seeing this tremendous impact in society. And you are more now than ever before in your life holding outrageous views. I mean, you probably don't feel like your views are that outrageous. I don't feel like mine are. Because they're very comfortable. I've had them for so long, and they're based on God's word. I don't have to worry about having views apart from God's word, because that's the only thing that makes any difference. So now we're at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Now, this is what he said, okay? This is his outrageous view. You listening to this? Okay, just want to check. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And that's what Jesus said when they came to him in Matthew 24. And they said, what's the sign of the end? And he said, He didn't say, as everybody quotes, but he didn't say earthquakes and famines. He said that later. The first thing Jesus said was, do not be deceived. The end times will be an age of deception. And we're way into that age now, okay? Only the church has the solution to that, which is the truth of Jesus Christ. The church, however, I'm sure you all have realized this. I'm talking about the church at large in the nation, has largely endorsed and embraced self-fulfillment, entertainment, having fun, being relevant. Now, you can't be relevant without the truth, okay? I mean, you can have all the fun you want in the church and have a good time, but unless you're holding fast to the truth of Jesus Christ, you are not ever going to be relevant. So the church has turned very inward. And right now, the church, by and large across the nation, is not strong on the idea of biblical truth. The church, along with society, has, someone said, it's good to have the ship in the water, but it's not good to have the water in the ship. That's what's happening with the church. There's water in the ship. People have adopted the viewpoints of so much of the society around us as being true. And so much of what we believed as Christians is now antiquated and, dare I say it, controversial. Whereas I don't think my views are controversial at all. His were controversial because this is what he said. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. For such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we all got in. We all turned away from the way we were living our lives because we perceived that it wasn't fruitful and it wasn't working. And we had to pursue a different truth. And we ran into that truth and found that truth in Jesus Christ. Now, even in Jesus' time, he ran into people all the time and all the time who did not like him saying who he was. They didn't like the concept of him being the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. They didn't like that. They wanted him to be a prophet or a good guy or something else. But when Jesus took a stand on who he is and said to them, this is the truth that you must believe in order to survive in terms of salvation, their response was they wanted to kill him for it. And in the end, they did kill him for it. But God was already one step ahead of that plan. But Jesus said to them, this is who I am. I am that I am, taking you back to the Old Testament. And it made them very, very angry. And the real Jesus now in our society still makes people very, very angry. Not the Jesus that Hollywood has produced, and not the Jesus that people want to believe in, but the actual Jesus of the Bible was a very controversial figure. And the church had a pretty nice ride for a long time. But now the church has finally caught up with their Lord that we're all going to be controversial just like he is. And Paul said, if anybody comes with a different gospel, let them be accursed. And many churches in America do have a different gospel. And if anybody comes with a different Jesus and preaches him, don't fall for it. And we're seeing that. Jesus is not in the business of making people feel good. Jesus was in the business of making people feel bad about their sin and good about the fact that there is a solution for the sin problem, which is Jesus Christ. That's the very beginning of everything that happens in our society, in our Christian society, is that Jesus Christ has given us a way out of the sin problem. Our society is saying, no, we want to dig in deeper to the sin problem. Man is central. Man is king. Humanism shall reign. So when you saw all of these people on all the newspaper reporters and all these people saying what they had to say, it was nothing but humanism, 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 humanism. And behind all of those things is demonism, 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 and demonism. Humanism appeals to man's pride in the rejection of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Man will save himself by his superior intellect or knowledge or something. And God is shaking his head and saying, you poor people, right now the church needs more than any other time in history, I believe, to actually be the church. New Year's resolution time. Did you make any New Year's resolutions, Betty? I knew the answer. I didn't have to ask you. I knew what it would be. Okay. John 17. Why do all the skinny people want to lose weight? Huh? Yeah. What are you? You're obese? 5 pounds. Oh, 5 pounds. Get the stones out. Where do we store those? Would you go to John 17? John 17. So Jesus said to Pilate, I am the King of truth. Pilate said, what is truth? We've already determined, John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the truth. You can't come to the truth other than through Jesus Christ. How, takes me back to what Josh was talking about. The knowledge of God increases as you seek him by the Spirit of God in his word. And I asked my Bible class also, I said, do you like learning scriptures? I gave them A, yes, B, no, D, somewhat, and E, no! And I only had one person take the no with all the exclamation points. A couple people said somewhat, and everybody else had the good sense at least to put the correct answer, which would be yes. Teach us more scriptures. Now, I don't care what their opinion is, but I already have my opinion. And my opinion would probably in some quarters be controversial. I think it's very important for Christians to know Scripture because that's how you grow in your knowledge of God, as Josh was saying. This is John 17, 17. These are New Year's resolutions. Okay. I've given up on all the other stuff, like becoming more mechanical or losing weight. I gave up on all those. However, one time about 5 years ago, I listed 20 New Year's resolutions in the bulletin. Does anybody remember that? One? Okay. Two? One and a half? I was tempted to do it again today, but I didn't. There are 20 scriptural statements that I thought if people like to come to know the love of God. Things like that. Things that you could actually do if you took one of those things every day for 20 days and prayed them. It seems like something would be bound to happen. Hope. John 17, 17. Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them also into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves may also be sanctified in truth. Now there's a... This is a good New Year's resolution, to be sanctified, which means to be set apart by the truth of the Word of God. Now, to do that, of course, you'd have to study the Word of God in order to be sanctified in the truth. But I think that's a wonderful, wonderful goal for all of us. And I think as time progresses and what I called in this book the Satanization of society, which will end finally in the appearance of the Antichrist, It's a replacement of God and godly things by humanistic and demonistic things, quite invisibly to most people. It's happening just around them, and it becomes their daily way of life. The process of tolerating and then accepting and then promoting and then extolling the gay lifestyle, I have to tell you, when I see these things on television, they make me feel a little tiny bit nauseous. When I see same-sex couples gathering together for their marriage license and kissing, I think to myself, is this real? Did this really happen? That's not controversial, but my viewpoint would be marriage is an institution. It says so in my little book. Did I ever give you what you call a little black book for? Yeah, Starr's Book for Ministers, okay. Because it says right in there, and if it's in Starr's Book for Ministers, it can't be false. It says, marriage is an institution ordained by God. Well, I thought, okay, I'll go with that. If marriage is an institution ordained by God, it's not a human right under the American Constitution. It's a right granted to people by God. Okay, so we have thrown that. That's a controversial view. We have thrown that out and said somehow they found in the Constitution the right of gay marriage, and that's not controversial. But I look at these people and I think, how far off the path so many people in our society are. How they have so little grasp of God. That's why your word there resonated with me, Josh, because I feel like that's where we are in America. We need to grow in the knowledge of God. We need to be able to stand on what we've learned and not be intimidated by people who believe that your viewpoints are outlandish, not worthy of anybody other than a vile bigot, and controversial. And I'm thinking, righteousness has never been controversial. I mean, it has always been controversial, but not in the church. Righteousness, the idea of being in a right relationship with God, therefore living your life in a certain way. For example, I would choose to run into somebody's car and not run away. I would choose to stay and face the music because of my relationship with Christ. So I think that for all of us, in large and small issues, there are things that you do or you wouldn't do, or you were sorry you did do and repented of them, because you are a Christian, that when you were born again, you truly became a new creation. And there is no hope for our nation other than some sort of revival where lots of people get saved. Other than that, our nation has nowhere to go now but straight downhill. In the church, Jeffrey Sanrocco's last and coming sermons, the church being salt and light, could not be more true. So, congratulations for picking a good sermon topic. Would you go to 2 Timothy 2:15? These are New Year's resolutions. This is my second resolution. 2 Timothy 2:15. I'll bet you know this, don't you, Alicia? I'll bet you know this. Well, I'm calling your bluff. What does it say? See, every time I have had someone for Bible for a while, and then they come back later on, and I ask them a scripture, and they know the scripture, it makes me feel very good. Not because I was a success in teaching the scripture, although I do feel that also. I am happy that they have that word in their heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, Psalm 119:11. You put that word in your heart, it becomes yours, and then you become its. You become what the word describes. Process, head, heart, life, that's where fruit comes from. That is fruit. So be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who need not be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Now, there are a lot of people that say, I can't learn scriptures. I don't believe that. I think anybody, if they wanted to, could learn scriptures. The worst reason is to learn it for the test. Get the A, forget the scripture, then forget the process. Get it into your heart that it begins to challenge your lifestyle in some way or other. Would you go now to Romans chapter 12? Romans 12. Jesus Christ began this mission at Christmas, and that's what we really celebrate. We celebrate the beginning of the mission of salvation by Jesus Christ. This is Romans 12. This is also a New Year's resolution. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, that you offer yourself to God. That's the actual gift. I won't get into the thing where it just seems so bizarre to me that Christmas is all about toys and gifts and getting and giving gifts. The whole point of Christmas is the gift that was given was Jesus Christ to mankind. And if we don't acknowledge that in the process, then all the rest of it, the family time and over the river and through the woods and all the rest of it, is just kind of silly nostalgia. It's all about Jesus, who he is, what he did, what he shall yet do. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Okay, you want to show off again? What does it mean to be a Berean? Acts 17:11. Whenever a person starts out something about, like, you know you're not going to go well in this one, ask your sister. She's standing right sitting here beside you. Okay, they're conferring.
I'm pretty sure it's about searching
scriptures. Yeah, something to do with searching scriptures, it does. Let's ask your brother now. Don't worry, Val, you're exempt. Be a Berean.
I don't know the exact word.
See, I went too far. I was doing well there for a while. I pushed it one scripture. Yeah, I got greedy, one scripture too far. Paul said, Acts 17:11, the ones in Berea were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, because when they heard me preach, they searched the scriptures to be sure that the things that I said are true. Amongst the three of you, you probably had basically the gist of that. But be a Berean means you check the scriptures to see if the things that you hear are truly outrageous views, or if they are something that God would have us know. Would you go to now 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy. We live in a society right now that I think is teetering on the edge of giant disaster. And everybody always thinks economically. But that's not what I think. I think spiritually. I changed my mind. I'd like to go to Colossians 1:13 now. Then I'll come back to 2 Timothy. Colossians 1:13. I don't know why, but this just came to my mind the other day, and it was something that pleased me. The incomparable Christ, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Do you realize that for every one of you in here who is actually born again, that process happened? God took you where you were, and you were, whether you knew you were or not, in the kingdom of darkness. And he took you and he transferred you into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, you don't remember the bus trip. You don't remember the process of it. God did it. He took you from the kingdom of darkness and he transferred you into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And I was thinking, what a wonderful day in human history that is for all of us and for all the people that we're still praying for who might go through that. Hopefully they will, who transferred from one place to the other place, I hope. 2 Timothy chapter 3. One through five. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self. Well, we're living in that society now, and men who are lovers of self are told that that's what you should be. You should love yourself above all others. In fact, you can't love anyone else unless you love yourself first. The Bible says, don't believe that. Love God, love other people. Don't worry about yourself. It'll all fall in line. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God,
holding to a form of godliness, religion, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. I think that pretty well describes where our society is right now. And the footnote to that would be Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. You were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Did you know? Maybe you do. I think I asked this. I'm about to tell you something. Raise your hand if you already knew this. In Canada, radio preachers on the air cannot say homosexuality is a sin. It's a prison offense. Bunch of you, okay? That's pretty amazing, don't you think? Kennedy, who is trying to become one of the worst places in the world, I think, is working now to legalize prostitution. Yay! There's a world-beating idea. Why? Because they want to make sure they protect the workers in the sex industry. Now, I'm hoping none of you have that on your resume. Past experience, worker in the sex industry in Canada. And I'm thinking, has everyone gone mad in our world? I mean, really, who would say, I think legalizing prostitution is a way good idea? But yet, there's a nation filled full of people who evidently believe it's okay, who are pursuing this as a path. And the church is going to give controversial views on this if anybody asks them, and our views will be rejected. What a world we live in. What a crazy world we live in, filled full of crazy people doing crazy things. This is Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. Everyone will appear at some time or other in the presence of the Lord. And nobody will get away with the argument, you didn't give us enough information to decide if God is real. It says right here, God has made it obvious to people. They have no excuse. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. How do you honor God? Scripture says you honor God by honoring Jesus. You honor him by the way you live your life because you belong to him. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Mankind, this sums up humanism, professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Those are the gods that man has made for himself. Therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, humanism, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper. I wrote a chapter in here about how people ended up with depraved minds. And it seemed like a good idea back in 1994, but it seems like a way, way better idea in 2014, because the world has moved so quickly, partly due to technology, that error has been able to spread much more effectively than it could have 20 years ago. And 20 years from now, if Jesus isn't back, it's going to be extremely much worse. So let's end in prayer. Pass this book back.
Should we land load it?
See, Jeff, I carry you around in my books like bookmarks. Wherever I go and have a book with me, you're with me. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we thank you for the high honor of belonging to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord, that we can truly count on you in every situation. And I do believe bad times are going to come upon the church, but you are going to give us an ability to stand and to minister in the name of Jesus, that you might be glorified, and that we shall yet see the controversial viewpoint of the church on truth. Though it be challenged, it will remain pure as gold the whole way into eternity. And I pray, Lord, for all of us that you would give us the desire to walk with you and grow in the knowledge of God every day. In Jesus' name, amen.